Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
I'm Tyson Archer here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
We host the true crime podcast, Psychopedia.
Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
He is the CEO of Quantum Communications, writer for The Hill, Penn Live, and Real Clear News, appears all over the place. He is wise, all-knowing Charlie Giroux, joining us in Philadelphia again.
Tom, my mom is so happy that you got that last part in.
Well, good. I'm glad. Well, I read it just as the script came from Dan. Exactly right. That's a long. We got to cut that down.
No, don't expose the secrets. Come on.
We don't have enough screen.
Just say she wrote it.
We don't have enough screen space here to say
all
that.
Eyes, all knowing.
Yeah. All right. So Charlie, I did not know about this. You can tell us if you did. That President Trump, and I'm not advising to do this, but you can tell me if there's an upside. He is going to have, when he's nominated, the voters that put him over the top, as I understand it, are going to be the alternate electors from the swing states that people remember back to that in 2020. And at one point, you were one of them. Is that the Trump plan, first of all, as you understand it?
I don't know that to be the case, Dom. I've heard rumors and only that to that effect. But, yes, I was one of the alternate electors. I do not want to hear the term fake because we weren't fake in any way.
Okay. I believe that's happening. So, first of all, before we get to that part in 2020, Charlie, why do this? What would be the upside? Is there an upside to doing this?
You know, the convention, Dom, is going to be the best one I've ever attended. And as you may know, I have been to 13 national conventions, more than any other Pennsylvanian. This is going to show the enthusiasm gap between the Democrats who are, you know, crawling on their bellies right now and the Republicans who are running to the victory flag. You know, any element that they want to introduce, I'm sure, is well thought out. I mean, Susie Wiles and Chris Lacevito and the people that are putting this convention together have, from every vantage point, done it methodically, seriously, thoughtfully. And so, you know, whatever they're thinking, I'm sure is a good thought.
All right. Well, look, it is going to be exciting when you have Amber Rose speaking there. For example, you know, a convention I thought was well put together to the point of making it exciting, Charlie. The Clinton convention, where they had the seventh grader who was corrected by Dan Quayle about spelling potato up there speaking. That's exactly what I would do. I mean, you can't go any better than that. Kid was an all-time speaker, seventh grader. But, Charlie...
You're tough, Dom, I'll tell you.
Yeah. So, Charlie, this term, fake electors, and I believe some people may have even gone to jail... Tell me what the idea was. You were an alternate here in Pennsylvania. What it was an alternate elector? Why was that in place?
Because there still were several, and I underline several, serious cases winding their way through the courts, both at the state and federal level. And we were concerned that if a court came back and said the Biden slate of electors is not legitimate, that Pennsylvania would be without the ability to cast its electoral votes. So we met, cast our votes for President Trump and for Vice President Pence, and said that if a court of competent jurisdiction ruled that the Biden electors were not eligible to cast their votes in the Electoral College, that we cast ours in their place.
How often does that happen? We know in 2020, I know it goes back in Hawaii where the Kennedys outmaneuvered.
Yeah, 1960.
Yeah, outmaneuvered Richard Nixon by hook or by crook, I guess, and did something like this. Is it rare for this to happen, this alternate electors thing?
Well, yeah, it is rare because most elections aren't razor-thin majorities. I mean, we've had one in our lifetime, maybe two if you count the 1960 election, but then you've got to flop back to 1876 to find one that was so razor-thin. So, yeah, it is rare.
So it's not unlawful. It's not unprecedented. But I have a gathering stack of stuff here for the media, Charlie, going to go down Broadway with this. And they'll probably be calling upon people like you and others. What's the best response to this? It's cogent and quick and can put a rest to it. What do you say?
Oh, I think there are two. One, you know, it's very clear that the media wants to do two things. They want to take as much attention away from Joe Biden and his problems as they possibly can. And they want to take as much attention off this great convention that they can. So they're going to look for these little rabbit trails to run down and, oh, look over here and look over there, instead of seeing the big picture of America standing up and saying, this is what we want our country to be. This is who we want for our president, etc. The other two things, Dom, is I read one report where it says the GOP had handpicked delegates. Well, the delegates are elected by the people. I wasn't handpicked by anybody. I got 45,000 votes in order to become a delegate to the convention. So, you know, I'm not sure what some of these media reports are trying to say.
Yeah, we're going to expect an awful lot of that. So give us a preview of the convention. You talked about excitement. I agree. That'll be the case. The VP choice. Let's talk the VP choice. First, do you have any? I've gone back and forth on several. We know that the first thing is do no harm. That always is a worryment. You know, although, Charlie, I think the Trump people this time around are much more buttoned up than in 2020 that are actually running the ground game and all that stuff. So who do you like?
They really are, Don. They really are.
Who do you like as VP?
And I'm with you. I've had several that I really like, and, you know, both or all of the folks that I could see as a vice presidential candidate have their own individual strengths and own individual weaknesses. I personally kind of like Governor Burgum from North Dakota because he's managerial. If, God forbid, something were to happen to President Trump, he could take over immediately. There's no OJT for him. He's a successful business person, much like Donald Trump. His success came in the private sector. I also like Tim Scott, not only because of his ethnic background and the fact that he's a black American, but because he has a great story. I like those. As you know, I like to think I have one as well. And I think an appeal to the minority communities, both black, Asian, and Latino, is really important. And Donald Trump is doing so well with those constituencies that anything that can enhance that, I think, is going to be valuable to him on his ticket.
Now, the first thing I would look at, Charlie, though, because, and I know Trump is, or I believe he is, Trump has done a masterful job on abortion. The platform is slimmed down. There's no national right-to-life bill. There's none of that. He's not going to get beaten on that. Several of these guys, though, have taken a pretty tough stance in the past based upon present day on that. How big of a consideration is that?
Well, the Republican Party has historically been and continues to be a pro-life party. We don't think that America is made better by having more abortions. The Democrats do. They basically believe that you should have an abortion at any time for any reason paid for by the taxpayers. That's a radical position.
Right, well, Charlie, let me challenge you, though. If any of these guys at any point recently, particularly, had said no exceptions except the life of the mother, I'm telling you, if I'm sitting there, I have to pause a long time. I can't endorse that guy as a VP because I know what's going to happen.
Well, I mean, that's a choice that President Trump has to make. He's made his position on the issue very clear, and I think it's a considered one and a good one politically. It's not one that I necessarily think is the best public policy, but it's a winning position politically.
We're talking with Charlie Giroux. So, Charlie, we got a text from Dave McCormick, or at least his peep. I think it was Dave, about the new polling, several polls out today. Casey McCormick, McCormick closing. He's got a lot of money. And part of the reason is the Biden factor, I think, is seeping onto other Democrats slightly at this point. How do you see McCormick Casey?
I think that Dave McCormick's going to win. Of the candidates that we've put up against Bob Casey through the years, he clearly is the best one by a country mile. If you look at his resume, it is stellar. But more important, if you look at him as a man, Dom, he is the kind of person you want in the U.S. Senate. Frankly, I'd jump into a foxhole with Dave McCormick any day of the week. And I think you're right. The polling is now suggesting that there's a Biden effect, which is a trickle-down ballot, which is going to be very, very negative to Democrat, Senate, and congressional candidates. And frankly, I'm very happy about that.
Josh Shapiro, to me, is his superpower is he's the great masquerader. He's a progressive, without a doubt. He does want to get things done and all that. I think the strongest ticket that's reasonable for Democrats is Harris, Josh Shapiro to win Pennsylvania. How much of a chance does he give them a winning Pennsylvania if he's the VP nominee?
Well, he gives them a zero chance of winning nationally, and that's what they're going to look at. Because, to be very blunt, putting a Jew on the Democrat ticket right now is going to cause an uproar in that party because there is virulent anti-Semitism running up and down the leadership and the rank and file of the Democrat Party right now. It's why Joe Biden was so frightened about Michigan. There is just outrageous anti-Semitism. So I just can't imagine that the Democrats are going to say, let's put a Jewish candidate on a national ticket.
Wow. Let's probe that a little bit. So if it's Harris, who is it that helps them? Who should we be aware of that would give them the best shot?
Well, let me tell you, if it's Harris, they need a lot of help, Tom.
Well, of course.
She, as you know, was a disaster as a candidate among Democrats. The Democrats don't like her.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm not sure who can rescue that lifeboat and pull it back up to the surface. But, you know, you've got a lot of folks around the country. You know, I think Gavin Newsom wants to be at the top of that ticket. Whether or not he'd take a spot as number two, I don't know. I really don't. I do think it would be fun, though, Dominic, if Gavin Newsom were on the ticket to watch the back channel conversations, because, as you know, his ex-wife is now betrothed to Donald J. Trump Jr.
Well, yes, we've talked to her about that, and she says she was always a conservative, and he sort of was, too. That's
kind of, Don.
Exactly. Well, Charlie, great stuff. And Dan's marking it down now, though. We definitely like to get you on several times from the convention as we see what happens day to day.
I'm happy to do it, Dom. I just want that introduction to be put in cement now.
All right, we got it.
One other quick thing. I missed you in Delaware County the other week where we were supposed to speak together. So I hope we get a chance to soon.
Okay, we will do. Oh, that's right, Charlie. Sorry about that. We'll get together soon. Thanks, Charlie.
Looking forward to it, Dom.
Very much.
Bye-bye.
All right, Dan, he said it pretty bluntly there, and you said it the other day. Here I'm counting the chickens for Josh Shapiro in Pennsylvania, Dan. So would Democrats actually say, nope, maybe not public. They're not going to say it publicly. Josh Shapiro's Jewish. We are anti-Jewish. We're anti-Semitic. We're anti-Israel. No way he'd be the VP choice. Or could they balance it by saying, well, wait a minute. Kamala Harris, though, is anti-Israel to make up for anything we want.
So there was a Dear John letter sent by the Democratic Socialists of America to AOC.
Right.
I don't know if you saw this, Tom.
No.
She's on the outs with the organization, the DSA, which holds a lot of power, allegedly, in the Democratic Party.
Mm, okay.
You don't think so? Because they say many members have supported national endorsement while at the same time demanding that AOC demonstrate a higher level of commitment to Palestinian liberation, self-determination, the immediate end of the heinous genocide in Gaza committed by Israel. They're also upset with the AOC meeting of Jewish leaders over the issue of anti-Semitism. So there's definitely that true sect in the party that is going to be vocally against a Jewish candidate if they're going to speak out against one of their darlings, AOC, because she's not anti-Semitic enough for them.
Well, I just want to say, are the Inquirer and all these other news organizations, Dan, because logically, I don't have the polling they do. I don't know who hates whom or anything else. But if Harris is the ultimate nominee here, which is if Biden's out, she's a 75% chance or more to be the nominee. I don't care what anyone, that's what's going to happen. Okay. If that's the case, And they're going to turn down Josh Shapiro, who I think would win you Pennsylvania or give you an awfully good shot at doing it. My counter would be I'm going with Youngkin to win Virginia. And I'm seeing more and more, Dan, if I had to predict, well, we'll give the final prediction tomorrow. If you had to predict right now, who's going to be the VP choice? Nobody?
Dr. Ben.
You still say Ben Carson.
I think he let it slip, Tom.
All right.
Any listeners, we had him on. Go listen to the interview that's posted, Odyssey, anywhere you can find podcasts. At one point, he accidentally lets it slip that says, and I hope they elect me again this time.
All right, I'll ask listeners, not who you want or who is it going to be. You heard Charlie Giroux. I don't think quite I agree with him on the reality of some of this on the Republican side. Vance has an abortion issue. He's got Don Trump Jr. pitching him. He's great on TV. I'm giving you all the things Trump would look at. All right? Other than Vance at this point, I still don't see Rubio. Charlie Giroux mentioned Burgum. Apparently, I don't know how, Dan, that guy's got a lot of suasion inside Trump world, Burgum. I don't see it, don't quite understand it, but that's where we are. He'd be capable, you would think, as a president. There's that.
Trump Jr. or someone said recently, I think it was Trump Jr., that he'd be great as the Department of Energy.
That's what you do, right.
The Secretary of Energy.
Yeah, he's all in for Vance, and that's Vance's biggest card here. If the polling is right, I still think the choice will be Youngkin. All right? I think Trump could be enamored with the idea, man, we can win Virginia. 855-839-1210, you get on board. With the Democrat Party, let's say I'm wrong, which I'm still holding out. With Biden, I think it's going to be a long struggle. I don't think he's going to go gently into that good night. Now, I'll tell you tomorrow, if it's brutal today with the press conference, then we could see Biden leaving. It would just be too much. But it would have to be beyond belief bad today. It would have to be debate bad, which I don't think it will be. They control more stuff here. It's not the same kind of thing. There could be moments today that are difficult. I don't think it'll be that bad. I still think he sticks. And the more Obama is pushing with all these sycophants, the more the Bidens are going to band together. So coming up, this group, Jewish Voters for Biden, was on a Zoom call pitching Biden's going to stick in all this and telling us there are three capable brain trust people, Dan, around him that are running the country, making decisions. I'll give you the names of the three. No, it's not Hunter Biden. My God, can you imagine, Dan, if you're sent out to say, well, Hunter Biden's in charge of interdicting drugs. Kamala, Dr. Jill Biden, and the second gentleman. This is the best they have. This is what they're leaking out. All right, 855-839-1210. That's how you get on board.
Did you see what Jen Psaki said?
Yeah, she basically started a miniature throw him overboard. Is that the one you're talking about?
No, she also said that struggles for Harris come because the country is both sexist and racist.
Oh, yeah. And yesterday we were told she's hysterical and men don't like funny women because they're going to mock us in bed. That's going to be their strategy. Let's get that male vote going. Oh, my God. All right. So side question today. The day that To Kill a Mockingbird was published. Hit us with that all-time book that you were for it. Kill a Mockingbird's great, but the worst along the way. We've had some good suggestions on YouTube, Dan, Roe, me. Love to get yours. But that's the brain trust. That's the three that are out there. And you heard Charlie Giroux. With the Democrat Party, I mean, he and Dan are in agreement on this. I'm not so sure. They have so many people that are anti-Israel. Than a number of them that are also anti-Semitic, let's face it, that somebody as the Jewish VP candidate, you know, is the media, you know what I'm getting, is the media going to report this? In the past, it would be said, yeah, it's those Republicans, it's those conservatives, it's those people out in rural America. You're never going to be, never going to see a Jewish president because of them. When really, it's inside the Democratic Party. I'd have to weigh that a lot. Who else is going to? I'm not saying it's a sure thing Shapiro would win Pennsylvania, but he is polling wise a popular politician, without a doubt. He would probably look more competent than Kamala Harris. Not hard, I realize. Could they really say, nope, we're not going to do that? The biggest swing state, the thing that could determine it, because vast parts of our party, and he's very pro-Israel, the only thing maybe I agree with him, we're not going to engage in that. Nope, can't have that. Pick somebody else.
I don't think they protest vote him or anything. I just think people just don't go to the polls for him. You know, they just don't show up and they just lose a big
Oh, that's what you're saying. So yeah. You think they, well, they wouldn't put him on the ticket because that's what they know will happen.
Yeah. They're just going to drop voters.
Well, he won Pennsylvania. Remember, Dan, what I'm saying here with Shapiro, I'm not worried so much.
He won Pennsylvania before all this, like, craziness from this BDS movement has popped in the progressive side.
I'm centered on Pennsylvania. I believe if you win Pennsylvania, you're going to be president. But in the other swing states, he would really hurt. In Michigan, he would hurt. I mean, they're anti-Israel, anti-Semitic forces in Michigan.
I mean, there's a whole town dedicated to it, right?
Yeah, right. Rashida Tlaib and Omar with Josh Shapiro on the ticket. But I think he could help you win Pennsylvania. All right, Richard in Westchester's next on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Richard, afternoon.
Hi. I actually agree with Dan on this business because I think he may win you Pennsylvania, but he's going to lose you Michigan, and then he's going to put Minnesota more in play. And so you pick up one and lose two. I think they're not going to put him on the ticket.
Well, what I'm interested in, too, other than that, Richard, you may be right, is the media going to cover this fairly? You know, that was always the rub. Somebody Jewish can't
be... It will never be fair.
Yeah, I mean, somebody Jewish can't be president because of all these knuckle-dragging conservatives, rural America. From really, you two may be right, particularly Michigan. I think he would be incredibly costly.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
We host the true crime podcast, Psychopedia.
Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
But she is so anti-Israel, and if unleashed and is actually the presidential nominee, she's going to be more wildly anti-Israel.
That's why I don't understand why any Jewish person would vote for Biden. I have given up. But they're more ideologues than they are Jews, I think.
Well, anyway, it's the age-old thing. We say it every time. You're right. It's a group that the Democrat Party long ago has left. Why continue to do this? It's almost unexplainable. Yeah. What's your book?
Well, Beowulf. Why do we have to read Beowulf? you can't even understand it. Just tell me the moral of the story. And I'll go on to Shakespeare.
All right, thank you. Beowulf is a very good one, Dan. And I don't know that Beowulf is still being read. I'd be curious if you've seen your kids out there. We have a teacher. What still has survived?
You know, it's one of the most important and often translated works of old English literature. Consists of 3,182 alliterative lines.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, Beowulf is tough reading. Canterbury Tales, tough reading too. Not Shakespeare, though. See, we're distinguishing it from Shakespeare. Bruce in the Northeast, Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Bruce, afternoon.
Dom, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. I got a little confused on the question, and I don't know whether it's too late, but I listed it as my favorite book. And since I'm on the phone here, I wanted to say my favorite book is titled Somewhere Along the Way, and it's an unpublished novel that I've written. And and maybe you can help me out on this. Just a little backstory here. Maybe you or one of your listeners can help me. It's unpublished, but it's ready to go, and I'm in need of a publisher or somebody who knows how to self-publish the book. And it's like a lifelong dream of mine, and okay. I don't have the knowledge or skills. But if anybody out there listening, they can contact the
What's the synopsis,
station.
Bruce?
What's that?
What's the synopsis, the plot, in a 2 seconds?
Yeah, it's a novel, and it's basically like young love, coming-of-age story in the late 60s, set in Philadelphia, mentions all the landmarks, everything has to... And eventually it morphs into... government plots and conspiracies this and that, and it's really good. I never thought I would write it. I'm one of these amateurs, you know, and I actually wrote it out longhand, and I hired a college student, this is a few years back, and we met a couple times a week. She was brilliant. She put it on format and corrections and cleaned it up real good, and it's a real novel, real good, and it's ready to go. But like I said, I don't know the industry.
Okay. All right. I'll put you on hold, Bruce. I'll put you on hold. Just leave Dan, if we have Bruce's phone number.
Yeah, just
so. Okay. Yeah, if anybody, like Bruce is a great guy, one of our real stalwarts, I might have a thought or two. I don't have a direct contact on this. But if you know that, you can let Jim know, and we'll pass it on to Bruce, without a doubt. Okay. Coming up. More of your calls, and boy, Harrisburg is really busy with all the nonsense. They still don't have a budget. But State Representative Donna Shearer, in the middle of all this, this is on my mind, put in an amendment to a bill that had passed that would make it so much easier to stop squatters. And Democrats are not going to allow that to happen in Harrisburg. All right, I'll tell you now, how big is this squatter problem? Well, I'm not sure how big it is, raw numbers. All that I know is, though, we've had a guy on and actually has a TV show around it. More and more of it is happening. And it's just incredible that police departments and others just stand there and say there's nothing we can do about it. Her bill would solve that. It would give them the force of law to kick them the hell out. Just imagine yourself. I can't imagine myself. We're all busy. We got lives, all things going on. That half of your day spent trying to figure out how to get squatters out of your own house. I just see it as a sign, again, of progressivism. That's how we've gotten to this point where people believe, even fancy multi-million dollar houses, they're doing this. All right, so 855-839-1210. Keep the calls coming. And at 2 o'clock, we're going to talk with the Fitzgerald family. We have an update. We had him on yesterday toward the end of the show. Really not enough time to talk about the news conference they did around Larry Krasner. There's more stories today about Krasner claiming, well, he looked at this through experts. That's why there can be no death penalty. I don't even think this guy who killed Sergeant Fitzgerald, I don't even think he's going to get life imprisonment. I just don't see it happening. That's how bad this is. It is unimaginable that we're living under this kind of tyranny. Dom time, welcome in. So as I mentioned, this squatters thing. So the Senate passed a law really trying to restrain this. It was unanimous, which really doesn't happen. Then in the House, they tabled it. Donna Shearer, who is the representative from Gilbertsville, Saturday, and she was on the school board. That's how we know. Or might be on tomorrow. It's busy right now, the budget in Harrisburg today. She wanted to amend it to give law enforcement permission to remove trespassers immediately upon probable cause based on a signed affidavit by the homeowner, and imposed increased penalties for property damage. Now, who in the world would not want to do that? Why in the world are we fooling around with this stuff? Well, the piece I'm reading about squatters' rights refers to the legal concept of adverse possession. In Pennsylvania, squatters can potentially claim legal ownership of a property after 21 years of continuous, exclusive, and visible possession. I don't even know. Where were we? Back in merry old England? I don't care if it's not your property and you stay there for 100 years. Why would you get possession? That's a side issue, though. From that, it's morphed into this increasing situation where people take over a residence. Sometimes they deal drugs out of it. Shuren talked about that on the floor. She heard from anxious constituents worried about a highly dishonest practice of this, occupying an ever-increasing rate through the country, criminals keenly taking advantage of lax laws. Now, you know, I don't want to blame the cops in this, saying, well, there's nothing we can do. Based on this, why would Democrats table this? Well, they're going to table it in Pennsylvania because they're progressives. Their leadership is a lot of these representatives from Philadelphia, Norristown, Reading, and the like. And they don't like anything that they think is taking away some kind of right here. What kind of possible excuse would it be? You either show the deed, you sign an affidavit. If you sign this affidavit and you're lying, there are criminal penalties. And the cops evict the lawbreakers from your home. Just the mere thought, every time this comes up, we've talked about it a few times, of somebody in your house, well, nothing we're going to do. You're going to have to go down to this. You're going to have to wait 90 days. We're going to have to do this, some judge. This is what's going on in Harrisburg. This is what's going on nationwide with the Democratic Party. So even though in the Senate it was unanimous, in the House, they're still going back and forth with this. I mean, isn't that what you want? It's bad enough that someone's taken over your home, done damage to it, or just the idea these creeps are in your home, in the slightest. We've lost our mind here that people stand there and say, well, you know, there is this. I'm looking right at the law, 21 years and all. How do we morph from that to this? Because everybody's afraid these creeps will sue somebody, do something. All right, so what you have to do is you have to jump in, have a law that's going to give immediate power to take them out of there based upon what I told you. That's all Democrats had to do. And the nonsense, you wonder why things don't get done. They don't work hard enough. They're not there on Mondays. They're not there on Fridays. The type of nonsense that they're involved in. This is a real thing. Just say, we're getting you out of there. It's that essential. You want to put in some safeguard. The safeguard is the police would tell you if you're doing this for God knows what reason, then you're under force of law also. How often is that going to happen? The answer is almost never or never. Shuren also talked about how dangerous it is, described an incident unfolded in New York when a woman was murdered by squatters who had taken over the home when she was on vacation in Spain. One homeowner in Pennsylvania spent over $1,200 to evict squatters. Another was jailed for changing the locks in her own home. Part of this, too, there's an undercurrent of people that are here illegally into this whole thing. Maybe Democrats like that, too. How in the world would this not be a reasonable solution? The thing that people want, and I think some of these Democrats are saying, you guys are overblown. I'm so tired of hearing that. We're always overblowing everything. I don't care if it's one case in Pennsylvania. I don't care if it hasn't happened in Pennsylvania. How long would it take to read this, vote on it, and just get something done? No, they're reluctant in anything that appears to be reinforcing the idea of somebody that is the homeowner, somebody, everybody's a victim on the other. Well, how do you know why they're in that home? Maybe they're homeless. Okay. They don't belong there. They have no right to be there. It's not their home. They are homeless. Joe in Hilltown, Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Joe, good afternoon.
Hey, how you doing? You know, this squatter stuff is a lot more dangerous than people think. Now, this happened to a friend of mine. He let his nephew and stuff live in his house for a while, and they were dealing drugs. When they got raided, his house got taken
sure.
over by the government.
Yeah.
He lost his house and everything, and he couldn't do anything about it, even though he didn't do anything. I mean, this is... And
well,
it was an older guy, 65 years old.
Yeah,
you know, he lost his home life. He lost everything.
Some of the seizures of assets have been tyrannical. We've talked about that part of it too, Joe, that the person really has no shot in this. Thank you, Joe. We've talked about that aspect too. Is it this widespread? I really, you know, we shouldn't engage with Democrats. Same thing we had on Wesley Hunt was great today about this proof of citizenship bill that the House passed yesterday. Well, how many people can be? I'm not going to argue with you. We shouldn't have people here illegally voting in a presidential election. I don't care if it's one in Pennsylvania. I don't care if we don't know, and it's hard to know. Why are you trying to block this? Because you want all these loopholes. That's why. That's what progressives want. That's what Democrats want. Only five of them voted yesterday for common sense, politically, too. To say, no, if you're not a citizen, and how hard is it to prove citizenship? There are five or six ways in this bill that you could, just like voter ID. All right, coming up, Dan time, and at 2 o'clock, we'll talk with the Fitzgerald family, give you a little bit more of an update. Yesterday, when they held this news conference saying that Larry Krasner didn't even have the grace or dignity to meet with them and tell them he wasn't going to go for the death penalty. Is he even going to go for life imprisonment without parole? I mean, after all, you assassinate some young man with a family in this situation. Yeah, you ought to be in jail for the rest of your life. We don't need you out.
They're running a strange program, y'all.
It's Dan time.
I can handle things. I'm smart. I'm like everybody said.
With Dom.
That's right. It's that time of the afternoon. Producer Dan takes over the Dom Giordano program to bring you...
things.
Well, maybe not all the things, but some of them. Dom, congratulations to the new happy couple, that being billionaire Alex Soros and Huma Abedin. Now engaged. Congratulations, Dom. George Soros' son, billionaire, and Huma Abedin, who's like 20 years his senior. Dom, would you choose Huma as your wife, especially after the situation that unfolded with Anthony Weiner? I don't
well,
know.
Yeah, you have to look good alongside Anthony Weiner, I would think.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to... I think I had him on once. Quite a character.
Well, we're on the topic of Carlos Danger and Anthony Weiner, who was pictured naked at one point. Another politician has gone naked on her own virtue. That Uchino Iari. She's a gubernatorial candidate out in Tokyo, Dom, and as a way to try and... muster up some votes. She stripped on national television. Dom, good idea. Could you see a politician doing that in the future here in America?
I think it's an excellent idea. I don't know which politician.
Donald Trump?
Might. No, I don't think that
would
work.
Yeah, strip show from Donald Trump, no?
How about the Big Gretch? That would be interesting.
Could you imagine? Yes. Yeah. Dom, Texans now, because of Hurricane Beryl, sad story we said yesterday, Minnie, who went through a horrible situation, lost some family members and stuff. It's so sad. Minnie, hope everything's going well out there. But Minnie, you and others down in Texas can use the Whataburger app to track where the power outages are because it's such a presence down in Texas, the fast food chain, and it's a 24-hour fast food chain that... if you're having trouble finding, or those down in Texas that are having trouble finding where power is out and where it's on, you can actually sign onto the Whataburger app and see which ones are in operation, and that will tell you if there's power or not in that area.
They used to say the Waffle House was the determinant. If they're out, then it's a real problem. They go on the Waffle House. Yeah.
The Waffle House is probably a huge presence down there as well.
Across the South, the Waffle House, yes.
Dom, another new trend regarding dating popping up on social media, quote, boy sober. Girls are now saying that they've had enough with their romantic sexual relationships with men, particularly online dating. So they're going to spend the entire summer, quote, boy sober. Not a good landscape for guys out there trying to find women, huh?
I would think they'd be on The View any point in the near future. There'd be a guest on there talking about it, yeah.
If you're a surfer in South Africa, be alarmed, Dom. Not for sharks, but for now, seals with rabies. Seals with rabies on the loose in South Africa if you're paddling out there. I don't know, Dom. Are you more concerned about sharks or seals with rabies?
I do have a slight shark sense.
Do you go swimming at the shore when you're down
yeah,
there?
Yeah, I do go. But
is there like a limit to the water? Like,
I don't think
I
go.
Guy,
oh, yeah.
Yeah?
It's got to be 70 plus, 72,
see, the
really.
Warm water weirds me out a little bit because you know that all the jellyfish are going to be there and then...
I've never had a problem with that. 72 plus, at least. I don't know. The water temperature was not good at the shore in June.
A man was stopped in China, Dom. He was trying to smuggle more than 100 live snakes in his pants.
I saw that story. Yeah, these are the dump criminal story. It's just hard to believe.
Of all the things to smuggle, though.
Oh,
snakes.
My God. Let's move on from that. Yeah.
And finally, Dom, Tobey Maguire is getting a lot of heat, especially from leftist social media, because it's come out that he's dating Lily Chi, a model who's 20. Tobey's 49 years old. The age gap. People, a story in USA Today, a commentary, we need to talk about age gaps. A lot writing that if you double this woman's age, she's still a decade younger than Tobey Maguire. Not weird, though, is it?
No, I know. It's so hard to find love anyhow that I don't see that as a hurdle.
Yeah. But, I mean, Huma Abedin and Alex Soros are kind of the same age gap going
exactly.
Back that way. It's kind of weird. So I don't know. But that's all I got for Dan time today.
Thank you, Dan. All right. Coming up, we are going to talk with the Fitzgerald family. We had them on yesterday, but it was very rushed. Due to the fact they had a news conference, this is Chris Fitzgerald, the Temple police sergeant who was brutally killed, assassinated, really, that Larry Krasner would not fine for the death penalty. And I found some more things out about this, or even give them the reason why. Is it insanity in this case? Well, you know, the standard, you can be insane as long as you know in that moment what you're doing is wrong and still get the death penalty. All right. And there have been more people that have weighed in on this, including in that race that may determine who has the Pennsylvania House, the Dougherty guy versus the new Republican, the Republican out there in Northeast Philadelphia in that Kevin Boyle district. Remember him? Adamantly says death penalty on this. The Dougherty guy is kind of all over the place on this. Guess he's waiting for orders from headquarters to know what to say. And I'd love to have him on to tell me about Larry Krasner in this case. All right, phone lines, keep them coming to What's That Book? So awful, that play. You barely were able to get through it, or maybe you didn't. It's demanded that you have to read it. That's what we're looking for. Today, though, The Great To Kill a Mockingbird was published. And could Josh Shapiro really not be, is Dan right, Charlie Giroux, not be the Democrat nominee? Now, think about this. This guy has been running for president since he was in kindergarten. I mean, anybody knows him knows that this is the thing. And he is the darling of the media. Are they going to reveal, though, he wouldn't be picked because of anti-Semitic thought inside the Democrat Party? I don't know what the polling says, but I think the gut instincts on that are right, that would probably be the case.
Dom Giordano, weekdays noon till 3. From Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host.
Investigator Slater.
We host the true crime podcast, Psychopedia.
Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.